This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, with me is Travis and Lisa, and today we're talking about Easter has come and gone, and Christ is alive, and we're excited about that. He is risen.
Indeed, yeah, go!
There we go. I've been just kind of moved by a song. It was Toby Keith's last song that he sang and performed live before his departure from this world, and it's called Don't Let the Old Man In. And in that, he's just kind of recognizing the brevity of life. And his hope in the song is that he's not going to let the old man in, and that there's going to be more time. And I was thinking about how he recognizes that that's, you know, probably not realistic, but, and that it'll come for all of us. But I was just moved by the thought of, what do we put our hope in? What do we place our hope in? And I think different seasons, there are different hopes that we have, and maybe they're wishes. I don't know. Biblical hope is always based in the scripture and always is based in the character of God. And so I don't know if always my hopes are based in that, but there's just different seasons. I remember being in college just hoping that I'd make it through. Oh, I hope I can make it through
that
this.
That resonates with a lot of students right now.
Yep. And, you know, then I was in, you know, hoping to get married, hoping to have kids, hoping to, you know, buy a house, or hoping to do whatever that is. And there's just different seasons where hope comes in. Maybe it's hoping to be retired. When you're a little kid, you hope for and dream about what you're going to be when you grow up. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I want to be a teacher.
I think you're lying right now.
I am. I wanted to be a pastor. I used to baptize my siblings in the bathtub.
Okay. Okay. That's a weird answer.
It's
a weird answer. We'll just go with that.
I waited and said something more PC.
What about you, Travis?
I wanted to be a professional athlete. Baseball,
like a wrestler?
Baseball, football, or basketball. No wrestling involved in that one. Although, maybe that's my new dream.
Yeah, I think every kid that grew up playing sports wanted to play professionally. And the realization comes fairly quickly that you're probably not going to make that hope.
Yeah, when the growth spurt stops and you're like, I'm not going to top 6 foot here. I guess the NBA is out of my dreams.
Yep. Unless you're Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us of a bunch of people who had hope one day, and the next it was gone, which is often the case for the things that we hope in. Relationships, money, health, politics, whatever that may be. Jesus had a bunch of followers. These were people who Jesus performed miracles in front of, or miracles to. And he had men that were his disciples. These guys traveled around with Jesus. He taught them. Jesus taught crowds of people, and they loved him many. He was kind of a recognizable rock star by this point of rabbis. And Jesus' disciples and many others hoped that he was really the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then there's this point in the Passion Week where Jesus gets arrested. Which seems a little weird, right? Like, you had to be a little bit, if you're one of those disciples or one of those followers of Jesus, going, okay, well, he's arrested. Okay, how's he going to get out of this one? And then you're a little nervous, but, I mean, he made the blind to see, the lame to walk, and you're like, he's getting out of this one. And he's going to, you know, he's going to do something. He's going to Kung Fu Panda it, or he's going to Luke Skywalker it, or he's going to, you know, all those people that are trying to arrest him, he's going to turn them into donkeys. I don't know, like, what's in there. Those are just my thoughts of what he could possibly do in the midst of this. But then he's beaten and sentenced to death. And I think they're still going, man, our hope is still there. He's still alive. He's been beaten, but he's gonna rise out of this. He's going to come out of this. He's nailed to a cross. Spikes go through his hands, piercing his tendons, blood pooling, dirt entering into his whipped and ripped up back. and he's placed on a cross. The beams dropped into a hole, and this is in broad daylight, so they are all seeing all of this. It's like 9 a.m., and everyone sees him suffering as he's being crucified. And now how is he going to get out of this one? This seems a little more serious. The Savior of the world, the Son of God, is on a cross. And his followers, trying to recount yesterday when he was walking around with them, when they had a meal with them, you know, did he say something? Did we miss something here? And Jesus hangs there for 6 hours until he gave up his last breath and died. And in that moment, all their hope was gone. For his friends, for his family, it just goes out the door. But something happens. Something happens. There's billions of people that still worship Jesus. And it wasn't because he was a good teacher. He was a good teacher. It wasn't because he was a prophet that we worship him. Is what happened was that he rose from the grave. And the reason that we worship Jesus is because he rose again. Not because he was a good teacher, not because he was a prophet, because I think all of us sitting in this room would say, if he was just a good teacher and a prophet, don't put your hope in him. He might make you a little bit of a nicer person. Maybe. But that wasn't the point, right? And so our hope is in him because dead people don't come back to life. Dead people don't rise from the dead. Dead people who have been whipped and crucified and executed don't come back to life. And he did. And we're going to look at a story today that is found in Luke. And it's found in Luke chapter 24. And there's these two guys walking along. They had been in Jerusalem. They knew Jesus was dead. They'd heard that the tomb was opened and that he was moved somewhere. They were walking and they were talking about the events that had happened. And the resurrected Christ comes up to them and says, "What are you guys discussing? What are you talking about?" As you walk along, they look at him and one of them responds to him. And they say, like, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what has happened in the past few days?" It's like, dude, have you been living under a rock? And so you have this picture of the resurrected Christ talking to these two guys that are going from on the Emmaus walk. And they're explaining this, that this Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all of his people. And he was sentenced to death. He was crucified. And then they say this, and this is right out of the word of God. It says, "We really hoped he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. We really hoped." All of their hope is gone at this point. God in the Old Testament said that he would someday send a savior that would save people from their sin and from being oppressed by the Roman government. And along came this amazing leader who had supernatural power to perform miracles. So the people had connected the dots and they're like, "Well, we really hope this is the one. This is the anointed one. This is the Messiah." And they were saying, "This guy, you know, he has to be sent by God. How could he do these things?" Jesus says to them in verse 25, he says, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explains to them what was said all in the scripture concerning himself. And so it's like a 7-mile walk to Emmaus, and he just begins giving them a lesson of the Old Testament. And he's going through it all. It's like, you know, 2 hours of him talking, if you think about kind of natural walking pace. And he's going through the 191 prophetic prophecies of the Old Testament. And here's the deal. They still don't get it. They still don't get it. Why? Because people who are whipped, hung on a cross with nails in their hands, spears run through them, they don't rise from the dead. And they can't see, they can't understand who Jesus is. The story goes on, and they arrive at their destination. They invite Jesus to stay with them. It's getting late. It's hospitable to do this. They're going to eat a meal together. There at the table, Jesus grabs the bread. He gives thanks, and he breaks it, and he begins to give it to them. In this moment, they realize who he is. He's the resurrected Christ. As soon as they realize who Jesus is, he disappears. The two men run back into Jerusalem, and it would have been cool to have a stopwatch on how fast those guys are running, right? Like, they run like a 10K. They probably would have beat the Kenyans in this, because this is pretty incredible. Hope is kind of brought back in. And what do? They're spilling out these words out of their mouth. They're trying to tell the disciples. They're breaking bread, and they realize it's him. And they're trying to describe this, and Jesus pops up in the room with them, and he says, "Peace be with you." And that sounds really cool, but it's kind of like him saying hello in the midst of this. This is a common greeting at the time. And then in verse 37, they have this moment. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. If they had, you know, if they had smartphones, they're calling Ghostbusters at this point, right? Because they're like, how is this possible? How is this possible that Jesus is risen from the dead? And then in verse 41, and while they were still did not believe, it's because of joy and amazement. They're still pondering this whole thing. And they have this moment, and they ask Jesus some questions. Do you have anything? And Jesus comes again, and they ask him, they say, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He does, in both accounts, he brings them back to the scripture to help them understand what's going on. He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. Hope's back in at this point for these guys. Hope's back in for these people who are hope was gone. And hope came back for these people. They went out. They start telling people the good news. But here's the thing. The good news was based on what? It's based on resurrected Christ. It's not based on him being good, him being a nice guy, him having a great beard. It's based on him being resurrected. Their message wasn't Jesus is a good teacher. Their message wasn't that Jesus lived. Their message was Jesus lives and our hope is in him. I think that is a pretty compelling thing. There's all of these people, over 500 people see Jesus. And hope enters back in. And I think there's a question, as I was thinking about Toby Keith's song, I was thinking about like what I've placed my hope in, and I like, what am I placing my hope in right now? You know, some people are placing their hope that they're just going to get married. Are they hoping, I hope my life is fun today. I hope that I make it to next payday. I hope that I will make money and have a family and be able to retire. I hope that the old man won't come in. And I hope my life is long in the midst of it. None of those are bad things. None of those are bad things. But if that's all you're hoping for, I think you miss out on the greatest thing that God has given us, and that's Jesus.
And I think when I think of that, you know, we put our hope in all of those things, and we can get kind of fired up from time to time about it. But when you have your hope in Christ and his resurrected body and the salvation that he brings, I look back at verse 32 when those two first guys that were talking with him on the road, and their eyes are finally open, and they're like, "We're not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us." When you have that hope in Christ, it's a different kind of heart feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, I could hope that the Mega Millions, I think, is out, but the Powerball is still out there. I could hope that that's going to be something in my future, and maybe that gets me excited a little bit, but it does not compare. It fails in comparison to the hope.
Well, it's a wish, right?
Yes, it's a wish. Yeah, exactly. Versus like that solid foundation of Christ.
Well, back to the whole thing of when the Bible talks about hope, it's always based in the promise and nature of who God is. And if God is a God who loves us, a God who wants to have a relationship with us, a God who loves us not as we should be, but as we are, a God who loves us so much that he's willing to meet us anywhere. He meets these dudes on the road to Emmaus, and he's willing to meet us in the silly conversations that we're having. He's willing to meet us in a hayfield. He's willing to meet us on a bar stool. He's willing to meet us anywhere in the midst of these things, but he's not willing to leave us there. And I think that's one of the interesting parts about the road to Emmaus. He doesn't leave them there.
No, I've always been struck by the question that he asks them before their eyes are opened, when he says, "Foolish ones and slow of heart to believe. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer?" And the idea between how slow I am to believe and then the things that are necessary to get me to believe are is intriguing to me, that God is with me and he leads me in this way through my unbelief, through my hopelessness, to the only hope that is him, that only real hope, that and it is found in him. And I guess it's that question, was it not necessary for Christ to suffer? And sometimes things are hard and necessary in order to get me out of my foolish, slow belief.
Mm. Yeah. You know, what if we told you, listeners, that there's a God who's willing to provide forgiveness, mercy, grace from our past, a God who wants to free you from guilt? Forgiveness is a really a powerful thing that Jesus offers us. Forgiveness frees us to really start living. Like those guys were not living. They were in despair, and now they have this incredible hope. And it's the number one reason Jesus came into this world, to offer hope, to offer forgiveness, to offer salvation, to offer and to gather his people to them. It's crazy to me that it doesn't matter what we've done, what's been done to us, or where we've been. He's willing to do that for us in the midst of that. And I love that about, you read the scriptures, he's willing to meet anyone, anytime, anywhere, and to demonstrate his love for them. And it's incredible to me also that it's not just in this next life. It's now. He meets them in the here and now. It's not just like, "Hey, you're going to come with me someday," when he's talking to these people on the road to Emmaus. It's like, "I want to be with you now. I want to have this experience with you now. I want to be with you now in the midst of this." And if we read the scriptures, Jesus, he goes and he ascends into heaven, but he gives us his spirit that will walk with us into everything that this world has. And the reality is, just because we're followers of Jesus, it doesn't mean we don't have hardships. It doesn't mean that we don't have pain in this world, because this world is broken and is now designed for pain and suffering. It just is. And in Romans, Paul talks about this. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" There's all of these things. In the next verse, he says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It doesn't say outside of these things, but it says in all of these things. In other words, as we go through these things, I am more than a conqueror through God working in and through my life. Whatever situation, whatever thing that's in your life, it's been around for thousands of years, right? Like all those hardships, persecutions, all of those things have been. Sitting on these couches here talking about this, we've all had hardships. Kid die, wife sick. Those are just some of mine. I didn't get some jobs that I thought I should have gotten. I mean, all of those things are just a part of this world. But in the reality is, in the midst of all of that, God was with me in that. And it changes your perspective. If the God who loves you, the God who created the universe, the God who came for you is with you, it changes things. And it makes us more than conquerors in the midst of this. It also accounts for our sin, the things that we've done, the things that we've caused to break this world. And the reality is all of us sitting here on these couches would say, we're people in need of a savior. And we find that in Jesus. We find that in him. And we also know that this world, the old man for all of us will come in at some point. And yet, the promise of the scripture, the promise of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, which is based in his nature and who he is, says, even though that happens, I'm going to come and I'm going to get you and bring you home. That's a pretty incredible hope that we get to have and get to experience in God. And so if you're in a place where it's just a rough place in your life, we just want to offer that Jesus is the hope. He will walk through that with you. God will walk through that with you. If you've never said yes to Jesus and what he's did for you on the cross, his blood shed for you, his body given for you, that you could have a relationship with God, that you could be forgiven, that you could have eternal life in him, then just invite you to place your hope in Jesus, to realize what he's done for you. That his coming, his living, his dying to pay for our sins, and then his rising again is where all of our hope as a follower of Jesus is found. And I know that I'm a person who is in need of a savior. And we just thank Jesus today for rising from the dead and defeating death. And I know for me, I want to put my full hope and trust in him because it's the thing that actually matters. It's the thing that actually pays dividends in the end and now. And he's with us always. And I want to worship him to the last day here on earth when the old man enters in. And after that, we get to meet him face to face, which is going to be pretty incredible. That's good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in and joining us. If you've got any questions or comments or topic ideas, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous episodes of Pearls and Swine, you can just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform, and you can always find those things at evangelup.org.